So the Fed decided to hold interest rates steady.
Yep.
What I did find interesting, though, was that three of the 12 governors mm-hmm. voted to raise
yes.
interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we did see a dip last month, which was great news, and it was a pretty substantial dip, they're still well above their target of where they want to be at 2%, at 3.5%, 3.75%.
Right.
And so the question is, could we see a rate increase before the end of the year? Let's talk about it with Dr. Tim Nash, the Senior Vice President Emeritus and Director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Freedom, Free Enterprise, and Entrepreneurship. Doc, good morning. It's good to have you back.
Chris, Lloyd, it's always great to be with you. Can't tell you anything other than you do my hometown real good.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you. What did you make of this decision by the Fed to hold interest rates steady? Were you surprised?
You know, I was not. And I think probably the person that was most surprised was President Trump. He thought that Fed under the leadership of Kevin Warsh would cut rates. And I think that what Kevin Warsh is proving is that he's his own man and that he just doesn't see the rates ready to come down just yet. As you look at the three Fed regional presidents that you were mentioning, they actually thought rates should go up rather than come down. So you usually don't see a split that big. And it was 9-3, but that's a rare split. Usually you're looking at 10-2 or 11-1 in favor of whatever the action happens to be. So I think that there still is a possibility of a rate increase. I doubt it will happen, but I do believe that there is a chance that the Fed could increase rates. My guess is that we'll see another flat action by the Fed the next time around, and then we'll see a rate cut before the end of the year.
How much of today's inflation, Dr. Nash, is really something that the Federal Reserve can control? I mean, how much is being driven by things like the war in Iran and higher energy prices and the global supply chains?
Well, I think that's a great question, Lloyd. And as you look at what the Fed is doing right now, certainly the war in the Middle East, you know, primarily with Iran, is what's causing rates to be of concern, and it's literally causing rates to stay constant or grow or go higher. And if you look at what's happening, say, relative to the Middle East, and you think about where we are, the rumor, for example, that China is actually supplying Iran with more missiles, that especially the shoulder-held missiles that could easily create an environment where if that happens just once, that's going to create a lack of confidence in America's position, and it will cause a lack of confidence in the stability of prices. If that happens, we could get a couple of rate hikes rather quickly. And so I know the president's worried. The president meets with Xi Jinping in September here in the United States. And that I think, it worries me the most, because that's more emotional than anything, Lloyd.
Yeah.
And so many times it's the emotion that impacts the prices of products, and especially gasoline, which is a key driver, you know, to produce fertilizers, to produce fuel, and that would be a real problem for us.
You know, we make a big deal about this 2% target for inflation, but even in the near future, is that a realistic number? Like, are we going to get back to that point, or are we kind of settling in a new normal?
You know, boy, that's a great question. As I've said to you before, Chris, if I had the answer for that, I'd be sipping pina coladas on my own island in the Caribbean. But the thing that troubles me as much as anything is the fact that when you're looking at the markets should be driven strictly by profits. And as we know, yesterday and the market certainly recovered faster than I thought it would, and we're looking at a pretty darn good year for profits. And And so the difficulty that we have today is that our profits have held fairly well throughout the year, but there are just a number of things that we're worried about. Can the U.S. auto companies compete on a long-term basis with the Chinese, with the Japanese? Well, clearly, we can compete with the Japanese, and quite frankly, we partner quite strongly with the Japanese. I think the biggest problem is, can we compete with the Chinese, and are they going to continue to take advantage of our intellectual property rights in the auto industry, in AI? And whoever controls AI is going to control not just the auto industry, but they're going to control a number of industries. Right now, without any other problems related to the theft of intellectual property rights, the U.S. is clearly the world's leader. If China can step in and, shall we say, borrow intellectual capital and property rights, it's going to be a real challenge for the U.S. moving forward.
We got about a minute left, Doc. You know, the president's tariffs, I would believe, are adding another kind of layer of uncertainty. Could the tariffs end up fueling inflation even further?
Well, that's a great question, Lloyd. And if you go back, the last time that we had a major increase in Fed prices, interest rates, was literally 15 months ago in April of 2025, in which that was, you know, caused by tariffs, the first big round of tariffs with Canada. So as I've mentioned to both of you before, and Jamie, that I am not a fan of tariffs, and I voted for the president 3 times, and there are a lot of things that I like, especially some of his tax policies. But in terms of tariffs, my mentor, one of my heroes, the guy that wrote a foreword to the book I wrote, When We Are Free, co-authored When We Are Free, Milton Friedman, would not be in favor of any kind of tariffs unless it was, you know, impinging on the national defense of the United States. And right now, it's hard to make an argument that Canada is impinging on the national defense of the U.S. So that would be my answer. I think it's a great question.
Friedman would have been 114 years old today, Friedman's birthday. Still one of my favorite economic videos to watch is his explanation on the pencil. Still a masterclass.
And do you know that Milton didn't write that?
He didn't write that? That
was written by Leonard Reed. And when Milton was getting his start as a great pre-market economist, he was one of the summer fellows at the Foundation for Economic Education. And my professor, Orville Watts, was the head of all these great economists. Four of them went on to win the Nobel Prize, and one of them was Milton Friedman.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Unbelievable. I'll watch that video every few months because it's so fascinating.
I'm gonna send you the link to the exact version and the exact way that Leonard Reed wrote iPencil. I'll even send you something where it shows Friedman complimenting Leonard Reed for writing it.
I love it. I love it. Dr. Tim Nash, always appreciate you. Thank you. We'll talk again very soon. Have a good weekend.
You too, and keep up the great work, guys.
You got Thank it. You. Will do. Coming up on the other side, a new CNN poll shows that Democrats are up 8 points going into these elections.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd like to vote out more than maybe just President Trump. We'll talk about it coming up on Chair Morning.